Is there censorship today of Christian and conservative content on Facebook, YouTube, Google, and other internet monopolies? Stay tuned.
Think about this. The president of the U.S. had 89 million followers, and Twitter just purged him, just knocked him off.
And when speech is no longer free, that's a problem for all of society, and people need to realize that.
I think right now there's a solid case to be made that we're losing on this front, and until there's some competition, we're going to continue losing on this front.
These companies are working hard against the conservatives and Christians, who are the hope for the nation.
Hi, I'm Frank Wright. Welcome to this special presentation from D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Modern communications have changed dramatically in recent years. We all have devices that put the world at our fingertips. But there are gatekeepers in the online world, enormous and near monopolistic tech companies that control the flow of information. They have almost absolute control over what you are allowed to see and hear. And companies like Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon are now silencing conservatives and Christians. In early 2021, several of these companies even took the absolutely unprecedented step of banning the President of the United States from their platforms. Now ask yourself, is this an effort to serve you, the consumer, or is this an effort to buttress and advance a political position, one that has no sympathy for Christians, conservatives, and those who stray from politically correct orthodoxy? Those are the questions we seek to answer on this special program. We begin by taking a look at the all-out assault on free speech, as we saw unprecedented censorship running up to and in the wake of the 2020 election. Our own Jerry Newcomb has more.
Did social media, that is Facebook, Twitter, and company, take it upon themselves to intervene in the 2020 election?
Instead of just only focusing on media, it's becoming clearer and clearer that we also need to pay attention to what social media is doing, what the tech giants are doing out there to expand that, because that's where so many people today, so many Americans, millions, even billions, get their news from.
Facebook has 2.7 billion users, which is the equivalent of the entire population of the two most populous countries in the world, China and India. Google, 92% of search around the world is controlled by Google.
Social media has become almost as important as the media, maybe more important as the media. And they've hired young people, by the thousands, right out of the universities. And most of these young people are completely advocating liberals. And they're in the game to suffocate conservatives, suffocate conservative voices, populism.
Perhaps these big tech giants were, in their minds, atoning for somehow having allowed Trump's unexpected win in 2016 in the first place. Critics argue that big tech was clearly biased for Biden's campaign and against Trump's. For example, millions of Americans never heard about the Hunter Biden laptop scandal reported by a mainstream newspaper.
The New York Post, founded by Alexander Hamilton in the 1800s. They've got the laptop of Hunter Biden, and in there was troves of information on his dealings from China and Ukraine and the millions they made.
Twitter suspended the New York Post account and started suspending anybody who posted the story. So in effect, they did. They censored it. And Twitter suspended the New York Post story for 17 days. And so that was all the time leading up to the election, to the point where more than a third of Democrat voters, more than a third of Biden voters, had never heard of the story.
The New York Post is over 200 years old. The New York Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton, and your position is that you can sit in Silicon Valley and demand of the media that you can tell them what stories they can publish, and you can tell the American people what reporting they can hear. Is that right?
No. This was every person.
Senator Cruz made it clear during the grilling of Jack Dorsey, hey, who are you to be judge and jury of the president's tweets or some conservative tweets? And he just stood there with a blank look, again, lied to the senator's faces.
On top of that, Facebook directly influenced the election in Georgia through a generous political donation to the left.
You find out Facebook's giving $250 million through one of their not-for-profits to the Georgia Democratic Party for, you know, canvassing and going out and drawing out the vote. So they played a major part in helping elect Joe Biden.
Then after the election, with all the questions of irregularities, particularly in the swing states, Trump and his followers alleged voter fraud because of a plethora of incidents. But big tech flagged all these concerns as false allegations. And then came January 6, 2021, and the rushing of the Capitol.
In the aftermath, big tech companies scrambled to purge violent rhetoric. Twitter banned President Trump, cutting off his favorite link to supporters.
I think big tech has made a terrible mistake and very, very bad for our country.
After this incident, in the last days of the Trump administration, Twitter and Facebook took it upon themselves to censor the president of the United States, banning him from their platforms.
Think about this. The president of the U.S. had 89 million followers, and Twitter just purged him, just knocked him off.
This whole story of the 2020 election and its aftermath is a part of the growing phenomenon of big tech yielding inordinate influence in our world.
When you talk about Silicon Valley, you're talking about an industry with hundreds of billions of dollars flowing through it on a constant basis to build new tech, to reach minds and change minds. And the conservatives are behind in the game.
I was able to reach 5 million to even 8 million people a month on Facebook. They blocked 98% of the people I would normally reach.
I understand where that concern is coming from, because Facebook and the tech industry are located in Silicon Valley, which is an extremely left-leaning place. I'm very committed to making sure that Facebook is a platform for all ideas.
They don't want a free exchange of ideas. That's not free speech. And when speech is no longer free, that's a problem for all of society, and people need to realize that.
One of these subtle or not so subtle ways in which this social media censorship is done is by clamping down on so-called hate speech. And who gets to define what hate speech is? Well, groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC.
So Google and Facebook and YouTube, a lot of the social media companies will uncritically look at reports from supposedly neutral arbiters like the SPLC or like Media Matters or like PolitiFact, and all of which lean left at the very least. And then they'll say, well, you know, if the SPLC says it's a hate group, that must mean it's a hate group. Like, well, who made the SPLC God? Like, how exactly did that work? How does the SPLC, which has promoted untruth on a variety of topics, suddenly become the great arbiter of what constitutes hateful speech? Everybody who disagrees with the hard left position, according to the SPLC, is borderline a hate group. There's no question that on YouTube, the social issues are the hot button. Everything from race to abortion to same-sex marriage to transgenderism. If you violate the left standards of political correctness here, then there's a good shot they're going to demonetize you. They'll find that you run afoul of their community standards. If you take a socially unapproved stance on one of these issues, there's a good shot that YouTube will demonetize you or Facebook will crack down on you.
It's really hard to create a startup and to compete with these huge, giant tech companies that are already there.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for people to compete with that. Without these tech companies' help, it's really hard for them to grow, for people to realize that they exist.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, too.
When a conservative alternative to Twitter arose, Parler, a tidal wave of conservatives, migrated there. At which point the big tech giants ganged up on Parler to try and effectively kill it.
But what this really points to is the danger for all conservative organizations, all Christian organizations, all organizations that the woke left around the world doesn't like. Because they, what happened to Parler is they didn't just lose Amazon and Google and Apple. They lost their lawyers who were getting death threats. They lost all the businesses they worked with. They were effectively deplatformed across the board. So when we're talking about online, it's not about free speech. It's simply about freedom.
The major tech companies like Twitter and Facebook have been playing a game. In order to avoid libel suits for things said on their sites, they declare themselves to be platforms. But when they begin to censor information, they're acting as publishers. Currently, they rely on protection under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. But if they're going to act as publishers who promulgate a specific viewpoint and censor other viewpoints, then they need to be legally accountable for those decisions like any other publisher, rather than cloaking their discrimination behind federal law. That's why we want you to join us in calling upon Congress to revise Section 230. Please visit our website right away to sign the petition at djkm.org/230. Or call toll free at 877-962-7677. Tech giants like Facebook and Twitter and Google can no longer be allowed to censor news organizations and even presidents with impunity in order to further their own ideological viewpoint, all while being shielded from the laws that apply to every other publisher. Let's hold big tech accountable by signing our petition to congressional leaders to revise Section 230. Again, sign it at djkm.org/230 or call toll-free 877-962-7677. At its creation, the Internet was a noteworthy bastion of free speech. Some of it good, some of it bad. But giant internet tech companies run by far-left progressives who are hostile to Christianity increasingly control the information flow on the internet. And they're using that control to discriminate specifically against Christians and conservatives. Recently, columnist and radio host Dennis Prager decided to fight back.
In 1966, Time magazine ran a cover story asking, "Is God dead?" The cover reflected the fact that many people had accepted the cultural narrative that God is obsolete.
This is the start of one of hundreds of internet videos comprising what is known as Prager University. This one is on God and science.
I'm Eric Metaxas for Prager University.
Prager University, which I founded, is a producer of 5-minute videos on many, many subjects, everything outside of the natural sciences and math, let's say. And it's an attempt to use some of the finest minds we have. They give 5-minute courses. It's to undo the damage of the university. That's essentially what it is. And it's become so big. We had 600 million views last year. Not 60 million. 600 million views all over the world, and 65% are under 35 years of age.
So far, so good. Prager University videos are widely seen on YouTube, the parent company of which is Google. But lately, some PragerU videos have begun to be censored by YouTube.
They took 40 of our courses, and they do this regularly. They put them on their restricted list, which means it cannot be seen in a library, cannot be seen in any home with filters against pornography, think about that, and cannot be seen in any school. That's a big chunk, and they're demonetized. No ads can appear, so we get no money. And all of our stuff is free. We need, obviously, to raise money. And it's clear it's all ideological. A video on why did America fight in Korea is not exactly pornographic.
Here in Silicon Valley, the left-leaning gatekeepers of the tech industry and of the internet monopolies consider Christian and conservative views worthy of censorship. Why is this so dangerous? The fact is that for those under 40, often the internet is virtually the main means of communication and of commerce. In 2017, conservative radio host Dennis Prager sued YouTube and its parent company Google for censoring his Prager University videos.
Google is run by people on the left, and there is no leftist who is for liberty. There are liberals for liberty. I make a leftist-liberal distinction every time I talk.
Prager's view in the view of Prager University, this is outright discrimination and censorship.
It's helpful to understand that one of the ways YouTube discriminates against conservatives is by demonetizing their videos.
The way that you make money on YouTube is through monetizing your videos. The way that the videos are monetized is that Facebook, YouTube allows ads to be placed at the beginning of videos. That is not true for some conservatives who have been demonetized. So YouTube will take away the capacity for certain videos to carry ads because they're afraid the videos are too controversial and that advertisers will get upset. So Prager University is currently in a lawsuit with YouTube because a lot of Prager University videos, which are relatively anodyne in terms of their content, have been demonetized. YouTube will not allow ads to be placed on those videos for fear of blowback politically.
Ben Shapiro, publisher of thedailywire.com, explains the all-important distinction in this censorship on social media between providing a platform and publishing.
One of the big questions for conservatives has been, how do you deal with this? Because obviously all of these are private companies. Do you really want the government coming in and regulating them? What I've suggested is if these companies are going to act as publishers, then they ought to be treated as publishers. So Daily Wire is a publisher. What that means is we are liable for the content that we put up on our site. If we put up something that is slanderous or libelous, then we can be sued for that. Now, AT&T cannot be sued if we use their internet connection to put up our content because they're not responsible for the content. Well, Facebook, YouTube, Google, all of these places pitch themselves as platforms, more like AT&T than like Daily Wire, that these were just neutral platforms where you could put up whatever you want, and now they're treating themselves more as publishers in the sense that they're deciding what is good and what is bad.
Once you start allowing any viewpoint, whether it's political, religious, or otherwise, you have to let in every viewpoint.
The internet is in danger because of Google, YouTube. It is in danger of becoming what the universities have become, which is closed-minded completely. I don't think the ultimate aim is to kill us. It is to get rid of us ideologically.
We now have the Silicon Valley way more powerful than television ever used to be, with zero regulation. They are doing what is right in their own eyes, with no accountability and no absolute standard.
Unfortunately, a lawsuit by Dennis Prager and Prager University was thwarted by the often overruled and ultra-liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The new media gatekeepers like Google and Facebook hold virtual monopolies on the internet. And they have an ideological bias that comes to bear against Christian and conservative viewpoints, drastically affecting the information you, your children, and grandchildren are able to get, even shutting down a president of the United States. Friends, there can be eternal implications to all of this. Consider what happened to a Christian video producer, David Kyle Foster, who offers Jesus as the solution to sexual brokenness, including homosexuality. The new gatekeepers have worked overtime to shut him down. Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Shut up. You know how to be nice, Bonnie. You know how to be real nice.
Well, hey, why don't you connect with this?
I was starring in movies in Hollywood. I was on the sets with all the big wigs from NBC in New York all around me telling me I was this great, wonderful actor, the next James Dean. And then I'd leave the set and I'd go prostitute on the streets. I ended up as a male prostitute and probably had over 1,000 partners before the Lord saved me.
About 40 years ago, David Kyle Foster was working these streets of Hollywood, California as a male prostitute until Jesus Christ changed him and saved his soul. Today, he makes compassionate, high-quality videos helping people to realize that Jesus Christ is the solution to sexual brokenness. The problem is that many of these videos are being censored by the gatekeepers of social media.
Since homosexual confusion develops from emotional and or physical trauma or neglect, healing and deliverance play a huge role in the transformation process.
David has interviewed hundreds of former homosexuals and lesbians and people struggling with all sorts of sexual issues who found help through the gospel of Jesus. Up until recently, these powerful, sensitive videos were available on Vimeo, which fashions itself as a high-quality version of YouTube.
We were on Vimeo on a professional level for 9 years with our television videos, 850 of them, in 12 languages. And we'd spent tens of thousands of dollars establishing ourselves there and promoting it. And then I get an email from Vimeo saying, you're a hate group and you're demeaning towards homosexuals and you're going to have to take, and they gave me three of our videos, you're going to have to take these down or we're going to remove you from Vimeo.
The irony of this is how respectful those videos are to homosexuals or anyone struggling with sexual sin. And there's the rub, to call it sin.
They don't like the public to know that homosexuality is caused by brokenness. They want the public to believe it's natural and normal and healthy. But if you look at the statistics, and I'm talking about secular statistics from CDC, APA, medical associations, they all show great brokenness among the homosexual population and the transgender population. Very high suicide rates, very high domestic violence rates, substance abuse rates. There's clearly massive brokenness in that population.
Tragically, the suppression of David Kyle Foster's videos of hope and redemption through Christ is just one example of many of Christian and conservative content being censored in our day. It would appear that those making the decisions are more interested in being politically correct than in being factually correct.
And I emailed them back and I said, well, why don't you object to the idea that heterosexuals have brokenness? Why are you just singling out the homosexual population as the victims? And they just ignored me after that and took down our videos. One of the things that Vimeo said to me was, we object to the idea that the blood of Jesus Christ can bring healing to the homosexual. So this is really an attack against the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Bible itself. And if we don't do something about this first stage of attack against the homosexuals, we're not going to have any defense when they start attacking the churches and saying, if you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, we're going to take your videos down too. That's the next step.
As you have seen on this program, these giant tech companies like Facebook and Google and Twitter have become dangerous. They hide behind laws that protect them from responsibility for making political editorial decisions. We are calling upon leaders in Congress to change Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to hold these companies accountable. Please join us in making that appeal. Sign our petition to congressional leaders calling for a revision of Section 230 by going online to djkm.org/230 or call toll free 877-962-7677. These media giants should not be above the law. They should not be allowed to flourish in their discrimination against opposing viewpoints while pretending to be neutral platforms exempt from laws that hold publishers accountable. Please sign our petition today to keep the power of these runaway giants in check. We also have some key resources to share with you on this issue. The first is our ministry-exclusive book, The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age. This book explains what's at stake and gives you specific steps to take to protect your freedoms. Censorship from big tech will determine whether your children and grandchildren have access to the truth, or if they will only be exposed to the version of events that Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and the leftist media want them to have. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will send you the book plus the expanded DVD edition of this special report, Censoring the Truth, Facebook, Google, and the New Media Gatekeepers, featuring additional material we did not have time to include in today's program. This is one of the major issues Christians will face in the 21st century, and we are already seeing the negative results of the power of these tech companies. Become equipped to fight back for the sake of your freedom, your children's freedom, and the freedom of your country. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
YouTube dominates. Vimeo dominates. Facebook dominates.
We now have the Silicon Valley way more powerful than television ever used to be, with zero regulation. They are doing what is right in their own eyes, with no accountability and no absolute standard.
You know, with Facebook, with YouTube, it's become the virtual public square. The problem is, it's not free. If we leave it alone, even the gospel will be banned from being spoken of on these social media platforms.
If we don't get this problem solved about the censorship, we could lose our freedoms.
When Mark Zuckerberg testified before the Senate and said that Facebook was a platform for all ideas, it would be great to be able to take him at his word. But as we have seen, it would be more accurate to say Facebook, and we could add Google, Twitter, YouTube, and the rest, are platforms for all politically correct ideas. But Christianity is not politically correct, and it never will be. For the sake of your children and grandchildren and those yet unreached by the gospel, this internet censorship by high-tech gatekeepers must stop. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.